Okay, silence outside.
Sound.
Rolling.
Camera.
Rolling.
Hi, you're listening to Have I Made It Yet? I'm your host Ashwin Rajshekar and I work as a sound engineer based out of Hyderabad. This podcast features candid conversations with various professionals from the world of filmmaking. They come from various departments with different experiences of the industry and their own unique stories to narrate. Creating this podcast takes up a lot of time and resources, and you could help us by becoming a patron with as less as $3 or around 200 rupees every month. This gives you access to ad-free episodes, shout-outs, behind-the-scenes, and a lot of other exclusive content. Head over to patreon.com/haveimadeityet. All right. So for this episode of Have I Made It Yet, we have Vidhi with us, who's worked on a bunch of films for the last couple of years. She started off doing music videos, Hindi music videos, yeah, in Bollywood. And then I met her on the sets of Pachis, about which we've talked a lot on this podcast. She was the head of department for makeup and hair. She also took care of prosthetics.
Yeah.
Currently, she's working on Balakrishna's movie.
Nandamuri Balakrishna.
Nandamuri
sir,
Balakrishna,
yes.
Sir's movie, yeah. First thing that I want to ask you is, what got you into makeup?
I was 16 and first time I saw a bridal makeup artist work. It was my sister's wedding. And I just saw him do some like three brides in a day since we were there. And I just saw how happy this field can make someone. And it's an artistic field. I've always been artistic. So I just felt like this can be a nice career option for me.
Hmm.
And obviously good money. That helps.
Yeah.
So that's how I started developing an interest, started experimenting, watching videos.
But if I understand correctly, does makeup in events differ from the kind of work you do in films?
It does. It does according to the clientele that you get majorly. For an event, someone will come to you, they'll have a certain look in their mind, they'll have an outfit that they've decided, and they'll tell you to recreate the look. So your artistic, outlook doesn't come there.
Okay.
It's like you're providing a service to a person and they know exactly what they want.
Right.
Usually, most of the brides know exactly what they want.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to films, we are creating a different personality on the screen. You know, so the actor, what he is in real life, we have to take that in consideration and make him into a personality which goes with the script.
Right.
And which makeup, hair, prosthetics that I do, it really adds on. Like if I don't give my inputs, I think I won't be doing justice to the script. So that is where I love films. Like I love doing films.
So in a way, do you feel like you prefer films over the other
Any
stuff?
Day, even in my sleep.
So you started with music videos and then you did a very independent film, Pachis.
Yeah.
And now you're doing makeup for a superstar.
Yeah.
And I'm sure like that the kind of work you have to do even within films differs. Like, first tell me about the kind of work that you did for the music videos. I'd like to know.
So music videos were basically like our independent film, very low budget. Most of the actors were only doing, the singers were making their own videos like that. So they needed someone, they had a certain look in their mind which they wanted and they needed someone to make it. Like I was given a proper brief and I was going in. It was like, because it was low budget, so again, like no proper setup was there. It was very makeshift, everything. Mm. The shifts were like 20 hours long.
Oh my God.
No overtime.
Yeah.
And because I was right out of college at that time and I was recommended by my own teacher, so, you know, like, I also didn't know what has to be there on set.
Right.
And what all should I ask for.
Hmm.
I was also very, like, I didn't know how it worked.
Yeah.
So, from that, coming to a big set where you have everything and you're creaking a certain way, the respect that you get, it's so different.
Hmm.
It changes you as a person. It changes, it literally makes you grow. Because they creak you like a grown-up.
Yeah. Like, even for me, when I went to a bigger set, I did find that difference where they treat you in a grown-up where you are given a lot more responsibility.
Yeah, you're given a lot more responsibility. You get the perks for it also. Like, if you're at a level, you get the perks for it, obviously.
Right. So, what are the things that really, like, made you feel like I am in the right field? Like, let's say when you're doing the music videos, were there, you were doing 20-hour shifts, it was crazy stuff, but still you went on for a while. Was it the love for makeup, or was there anything else in the industry that helped you stay on?
So before I got my first work in the industry, I had already been working for 6 months in Bombay, in which I gig backstage for fashion shows, I gig catalog shoots, I gig high fashion. All these things, I had done bridal 1 year prior when I was in my hometown, that's Amritsar. So, you know, I had almost touched and explored a lot of fields. And then I went to the industry. And I felt this is way better than what I've already done.
Right.
Because in a lot of spaces, one, because you're young and you're like still in college or something, people don't listen to you. So they are just like, okay, this person should not have a point of view. In a film, I feel, even in a music video, everyone listens to everyone's point of view.
Yeah.
Because they feel like even if they're new, they might have some idea.
Especially when you're working with other younger people as well.
Yeah, everyone pitches in, everyone has an opinion, and it makes you think. And for artists, I feel thinking is very important.
Yeah.
That is when we create most beautiful things.
Mm.
So that is why after exploring so many fields, I chose the industry, the film industry. Because I was like, okay, first, I don't want to go back to bridal. Like, time pass, good money, theek hai. But as a career, I don't want to be a bridal makeup artist for sure. And after my first project, I had no idea if I'm getting a second project.
This was back in Mumbai.
It was a 2-day shoot. I gig a music video and I went back to Amritsar for a vacation of 1 month. Came back with no work in hand. Sitting every day on my laptop, messaging every possible email ID and Instagram account I can find where I think I might get work. And just like hoping something would happen. And for 1 month, that was my routine. 2 hours in the morning, 2 hours in the evening. I would sit on my laptop. And I would just mail and DM and message people for work. And then came one opportunity, that was my web series.
Okay.
That is going to release this year.
Okay.
That was also not a very big budget, but a proper set.
Okay.
With proper vanities, proper everything. All the equipment, all the team. That was a good experience. Very low payment. They made me work for pennies. But that was a very good experience. After that project, I decided I want to keep working in the industry.
Was it like, did you get to learn a lot on that set?
I got to learn how movies are actually made or how content is made for the industry. Not exactly movies, it was a web series.
Yeah, for general narrative series. Yeah.
Because before that, see, music video is also a very tiny project. It's just a 2 or a 3 day shoot, that's it. And that too, like, they have a story that goes on in the background where a song is playing, right? So it's not exactly dialogues or something is not happening.
Right.
Coming to a web series after that, I learned a lot of how things are actually done. So that is when I was like, okay, I want to do this.
Like, do you mean things like, you know, maintaining continuity?
Maintaining continuity, working with the actors, because in the web series, I worked with big actors. Who were doing big projects, films and everything. So you know how to handle their moods, how to take care of them, how to make sure the director is happy, the AD is happy. So like we would literally be on set doing our work and suddenly the AD will come and shout on us. Because like he's crazy and he wants to shout. And we are like the newcomers on set. So he can take that liberty. So, you know, going through all that, breaking down on set because you've not slept.
Oh, that has happened with you?
Yeah. One day I cried like, what? Having actors flirt with me. And then, you know, taking a stand for myself like, no, this can't happen. makes you grow a lot in very, like, even in your personality. More than your work, it makes you grow as a person.
I was thinking that on a set, the person that the actor is closest to is perhaps the makeup and hair person.
So this we are talking college itself, that so basically we are like, you as growing up, we have dolls, no, whom we talk to, who don't answer back, who just listen, who don't tell our secrets to other people. So basically we were told that if we are working on a set, if and when in life we work on a set and with an actor, we are like dolls for them, who work for them, whom they'll pour their heart out to. They're feeling happy, they'll be happy with us. They're feeling sad, they'll be sad with us. They're feeling angry, they'll be angry with us. And we can't wink it out to anyone. We have to absorb it all and keep it inside. Because they're actors, we can't go tell people. And because we're the only ones who spend a lot of time with them in the vanity.
Yeah.
That's like their personal space.
Yeah.
So yeah, we are the ones who take all the bashing. Like, even if the director has fucked up, they'll shout on us.
Yeah.
So yeah, that training happened somewhere in college.
But is it some kind of an unspoken rule that, you know, you kind of keep it to yourself, whatever happens?
It is. Because, see, I'll tell you, a lot of the times so this happened with one actress and a lot of my models. Now, obviously, everyone is frivolous at her age, right? And they'll come up with swollen eyes of partying the last night.
Yeah.
And they have to shoot early in the morning. So yeah. They'll come with swollen eyes, dehydrated skin, and have like random hickeys on themselves. And then we are the ones who are hiding it.
Yeah.
And we can't go and tell people about it. And they'll be telling, because if they have a good night, they'll be telling us about it with names and details and everything. And even if they had a bad night, they'll be talking about that also.
Right.
And we can't really go and tell people because everyone is of the industry. Everyone meets each other. If something goes out, the actor might never call us again.
Of course.
So it'll be bad for us only.
Exactly, exactly. But at the same time, it's also, would you say, a responsibility to, you know, kind of handle the actor's mood on set?
It is.
For every makeup person?
Yeah, because see, most of the sets, we're the first people that the actor interacts in the morning. So we somewhat set their mood for the whole day. If in the morning we mess up and ruin their mood, at least for the first half till lunchtime, their mood will be spoiled. And the director and everyone will have a problem. You know, if we ourselves are very dull in the morning, like 5 o'clock in the morning, we're dressing them up and we are dull, obviously they'll also be dull for the next 3-4 hours. So we have to be always cheerful, even if we're sick, even if we have like fever or something, we have to be cheerful and happy. I have also done that. I have gone and shot with 3 fever, taking a paracetamol.
Oh God.
And still sounding as chirpy.
Sounds extremely hard. Like, I mean, usually when you think of a makeup person, you don't think about these things that someone has to. You think of, you know, all the technical aspects of it, say the materials, this, that. That is also something we'll talk about. So when it comes to a lot of these indie films, people want to go for the natural look.
Yeah.
And they think that they don't need makeup for this person. I'm not an expert on this. What are your thoughts on this?
See, I'll tell you. So in India, people think makeup can only be glamorous. You must have seen my work in Pachis. Once the actor came in the morning and once he left my makeup chair, he always did not look glamorous. There was a lot of variation. See, makeup is a form of expression. We can make a person look tired. We can make him look angry. We can make him look like he's about to cry. It all comes under makeup. Obviously, his acting, his emotions are also there. Or her acting, her emotions are there. But if the look is not supporting to it, you can't capture it on the camera. Like, imagine if someone has a dying sequence. Like, someone is dying in the family. There's a mourning sequence happening. They're supposed to cry and all. And the actress has this very fancy bun and liner and red lipstick. Will the camera, can the director do anything about the scene? It won't match.
Yeah, yeah.
No matter how much good the actor is, how much good the DOP and the director are, they can't do anything. So the makeup artist needs to be briefed about what is going to happen that day, what is the scene, what is the look that they need.
Right.
In India, because makeup, it's become a fad basically. Because of our social media and Instagram, it's become a fad. So people think that it's only glamour, it's only fancy. But I can make a person who looks very beautiful, even when they wake up, look like someone who's not slept for like 2 days. So, you know, that is also a part that we learn and we practice and we develop.
And it all comes down to the script? Like what is required?
It does. It does. Yeah, we do give our inputs in the details of what we would want to add according to the script, which might not be mentioned like directly, which we feel would add. Like very, very tiny thing, like maybe a lens. You know, someone is supposed to be very dramatic in the film and we're not able to get that out for the actor. But if his eyes become very expressive and dramatic, the look will fall according to the script. So these tiny things, because we've been trained and we've studied about it, we know.
Yeah.
Which a lot of directors and all also come to know once they progress ahead in the career, but right. A lot of them don't.
And the reason they don't is because they don't listen to others?
Because they don't give a thought about it.
Okay.
They don't see, I'll tell you one very tiny thing which I feel very bad about. Our Indian film awards don't have a category for makeup.
Yeah, yeah.
They feel it's not important.
I mean, to be honest, Indian film awards are meaningless.
They
in the
are.
First place.
They
but
are.
Yeah, by not having a category, they're just showing that we don't
are,
care. Yeah.
They're ignoring. They're yeah. like, this is not important. Makeup completes your character. You can put whatever accessories and clothing on them, give them the best lighting, set, everything is perfect. But if their face is not going with the look, tum kya hi kar loge?
Exactly. Yeah. The kind of experience you've had doing all these smaller projects, can you tell me about a few experiences, like few things that you are proud of that you have done?
Okay, there are a few stupid things also. In what sense are you talking?
In the sense that, you know, you look at that particular scene and you're like, okay, I think I did a good work.
Oh, like that?
Like that, yeah.
Like that, I think Patches has made me proud.
Hmm.
Because there, so what I learned in college and what I did in Patches, so like I learned 10% and I did 60% in Patches.
Hmm.
You know, so even if someone sees the work, if they know what sequence has been shot in, you can see the makeup grow. You can see it get experimental. Because starting even, I was a little scared. Okay, you know, go all out. Because prosthetic can be tough. It's not very comfortable to wear prosthetic on your skin. It irritates you. If you go read the blogs that the foreign artists and all write, actors get rashes and boils on their skin wearing prosthetics because it's not breathable.
Right.
So your skin gets suffocating.
Hmm.
And to remove it, like to put it is a task and to remove it is another task.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Like on Patches also, I still remember we made a wound on the eyebrow and I couldn't remove it at the end of the shoot because it had stuck to the hair of the actor. Which okay. I also didn't know what happened.
Okay.
So, you know, then I had to go research how to remove it.
On the spot.
Order the product according. No, no, then that day too we like somehow managed it.
Okay.
Then the next day I went to research, ordered the right product and we did it. Like, uske baad we didn't have the problem.
Right.
But all these things comes with experience. No one can teach you.
Yeah.
The safest way is you go and turn under someone for 2-3 years.
Yeah.
You learn whatever they know and then you come out.
That's also the patient way of doing it.
That's also the patient way of doing it. But I have never been patient in my life. I am a very impatient, anxious person.
Mm.
So yeah, I just jump into things and see where they take me.
You just told me that you had trouble removing the prosthetic, right? Coming to materials, do you have a process in which, you know, you choose the right materials for the right... Does it differ from movie to movie? Or do you have a set of materials that you keep constant while few things change? How does it work for you?
See, it differs from budget to budget.
Okay.
Because if someone is giving me 10K, obviously I'll order the product according to. And if someone is giving me 1 lakh, I'll obviously order the products according to that.
Hmm.
I obviously have a basic set of my material, which has like medium ranging products and high ranging products that I usually use.
Right.
But obviously every project needs certain things that are specific.
Right.
Like, you know, certain element that they want to put. So that I have to order according to the project. But it majorly lies on the budget.
Okay. When it comes to, I mean, this is a question I've asked Waseem and Bala as well.
Yeah.
How do you negotiate the kind of money that you're getting from a project? What kind of a conversation do you have with the whoever it is from the project side?
So till now, honestly, I have not had a conversation about money directly.
Right.
With like the production and all. I've had people suggesting and helping me out and doing, also because I have a language barrier in Tollywood.
Makes sense, yeah.
Even if I go and try to communicate something, the other person will just get 40% of what I'm saying. So then I prefer being quiet, listening to what is happening and figuring out the best deal for myself.
Right.
But yeah, prior to this project, I always felt I've been underpaid.
Prior to this project, as in? Prior to
the one that I'm doing right.
Yeah, right.
It's a big budget, obviously. But also, those projects made me grow. So it got me to be able to handle this one. You know, so saying ke I would not have, if given a choice, I would not have done the project because of the money, I would never say that.
Right.
And I always feel when you, I think you will also agree to this, when you go to a very good project with very good money, you don't get to experiment.
Yeah.
Because they have a lot of money to waste.
Yeah.
So, you know, you don't get to take out that thinking brain of yours to figure how you can do this in the best budget.
Because you already have the best things.
Yeah, you already have the best things. Yeah. They can afford to waste the money. Which doesn't happen when you're on a smaller project. You get to work harder, which prepares you for the bigger projects.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I would never say I would not do a certain project. I have never said no to work in my entire life. Like whatever has come to me, low pay, no pay, good pay. I have done a shoot where I earned 30K a day.
Wow.
And the next day I went for a shoot which was free. I was getting just my travel charge. Like literally auto ka bhaada. So you know, like not even cab, auto ka bhaada that person gave me. So I've done that also. Because at the end of the day, working with different people and different budgets, it teaches you.
At least in this stage of your career.
At least in this stage of your career. Which is very important. Yeah. If you only get good budget, you'll not know how to handle a problem when it comes to you, even on a good budget film, because you've never done it.
You just mentioned the language barrier. How does that fit into the kind of work you do?
So, see, I'll tell you, there are tiny problems like if I need something very urgently on set and I go and ask someone about it, but they can't understand what I'm saying. So I need to go find someone who can translate. And then communicate. You know, like recently my assistant quit.
Okay.
So for the next, like after 4 days we're shooting again and I don't have an assistant. But I have to find someone who knows Telugu, who knows Hindi or English.
Yeah.
Who knows the work and who's also not scared of Balakrishna sir. He's a nice person. It's just like the aura that it's been created around him is very wrong, because of which I don't get assistance. So, you know, there are half the people that I reject, only reason being they don't know Hindi or English. So even if I need something on set, he won't understand what I'm asking for. So that way the language barrier becomes a major problem.
But you do have to work through it at least at this point. And I mean, always, obviously, the best solution would be to learn the language. But that takes
Dude,
so
Telugu
much time.
Telugu is very
Dude.
Tough, man.
Exactly, exactly. I totally understand. But yeah.
No, yeah. But I have picked on a few words, obviously. I've been, like, if we take out the lockdown, I've been for 9 months, I think, in Hyderabad, off and on. So I've picked up a few words, but learning the language is very tough, yeah.
True, yeah. Slight change of topic. When it comes to, in the production, what kind of a relationship do you have an expectation from a director in the first place?
The only expectation I have is that they communicate. Because a lot of people don't feel like telling a makeup artist is important. Because of which a lot of time certain mess-ups happen on set. You know, where... So I have this habit of going and seeing on the screen when a shot is being taken. Because it gives me a better idea of what is going wrong according to the continuity. Because, like, no one takes care of the continuity. This is one thing that I hate here. Which is not there in Mumbai.
They have someone for continuity always.
Yeah, no one takes care of the continuity. So I am the one who's taking care of the continuity as well. So I'm on the screen. Huh. But like, no one will tell me that we're going to do this. So, you know, make sure this is happening. Now they've started slowly. We've been shooting this film for five and a half months.
Right.
So now the Aegis have started giving me a brief, which they forget 60% of the time. Which I am only going and calling and asking, like, what is happening, happening. But yeah, that's a problem I always
face. Even I faced it when I was doing that movie, RRR. Like, it would be ideal if someone would, you know, come beforehand and explain to you what's going to happen next.
Yeah.
But you have to go and ask them. And that's the way it has been. Can't really complain about it, because if you complain, they'll be like, why should we get another person for
See,
you?
See, even in Patches, this happened, I'll tell you. So, starting when I joined the project, so Dinesh sent me half the script, according to which I took out the prosthetic scenes, according to which I make, like, the budgets and everything. And so it was, the dialogues were written in Telugu and the descriptions were written in English.
Okay.
Right, you've seen Patches script.
Yeah,
so the dialogues and everything is in Telugu, no?
Yeah.
And I can't read Telugu.
Yeah, it's written in English, but it's Telugu dialogues, which you can read, but you can't understand.
You can read, but you can't understand. So I couldn't make out what the story is. The only thing I knew was what's written in the direction brackets.
Right.
Right, according to that only I figured, ye to story hoga types. And I came, we started shooting. Lucas wagara hua, and like, middle mein we are doing, we're getting actors and all, because like, pura casting ne hua abhi. So, you know, it was going with the shooting only. Until, I think 1 month into the film, no one had told me what the story is. So one day Shahbaz sat me down. I remember the first week of the film, Shahbaz was the chief AD. He was going to do a reading with the ADs.
Okay.
And something to happen, someone called me for some work. And I went. And when I came, he'd already finished half the script. And I was like, there's no use sitting in the rest half. I will not be able to connect it anyways. And he refused to give me a briefing of what... is a prior studio. So, I just like left. Okay, fine. So, that is why when you see the first starting ka shoot, the makeup is also not very experimental.
Okay.
Because whatever I was doing was from what description Sai gave me of the character.
Sai, the director of...
Sai, the director of the...
Co-director, yeah.
Yeah. So, and he... took a presumption that she knows the script. So he never took the pain of explaining it to me.
Right.
So after 1 month into the shoot, he's coming to me and he's telling me, why aren't you experimenting? Why are you scripting? Why are you sticking to the script? And I was like, because I don't know what the story is. How am I supposed to experiment? And then he made me sit down with one of the ADs who explained to me the whole story. And after that, you see my makeup get experimental. Which a lot of people, a lot of directors and all don't find necessary. Like, they just give you a basic briefing of how the character is supposed to be. And they leave you at that. Because they think makeup is not that, I don't know, they think it's not important or whatever. But they don't give two thoughts about it.
I think it's because they don't see what you see.
Yeah, probably. See, we have been taught, okay, not every makeup artist, because there are a lot of makeup courses that range for a month or 2 months. I have done an 8-month course. I have learned character building. I have learned how to, you know, work on a script to get the character ka look out, to do the research and everything. Like, we've studied all that. So not using it makes me feel like what a waste. So then, you know, I am the one who's going and asking, okay, what is the story? What is the script? What can I add to it? After all, makeup is my passion.
Yeah.
It's also giving me a livelihood, but it's also my passion.
Right.
I want to create a legacy in my career. You know, at least one legacy where even after me it will be there. So that will only happen when I can contribute something special to the film.
Yeah.
So I am the one who's making effort for it. People don't think it's necessary. But once they see it on screen, they realize.
You really need the support of the entire crew for that to happen, right?
Yeah.
And okay, I really need to know this. I feel like a lot of people need to know this. Most departments of filmmaking, be it sound, editing, even makeup, you can tell it is bad when you notice it.
Yeah.
That's one part. Okay, I can tell bad makeup if I start noticing things on their face. But if the makeup is good, you don't really see it. It just goes at a good flow. How do you tell a difference between, you know, good makeup and really good? Like the kind of makeup that leaves behind a legacy. How do you tell the difference for a layman who's watching a movie?
See, what I feel is because the stars, the actors, they're already such a public figure. Like, you know, people see them, people follow them from what time they wake up to what they eat. Their lives are there for everyone to view. And when people see them on the big screen, if they're not able to see the actor, but the character in the story, that is when I feel a makeup artist has accomplished something. Like, we don't have to hide the actor, but we have to mold them in a certain way. Everything comes for this, obviously. The direction,
of course,
the costume, everything works together. But then, that is, everything is the main word. Everything includes makeup as well.
Yes.
Which people forget a lot of the times. So that is important.
Are there any roles or any such projects that you have seen that really connected with you?
That I really love?
Yeah.
So I watch prosthetics. I follow prosthetics. It's like my passion. So there I feel okay, wow. Like someone has done something. So I follow this artist, Preeti Sheel.
Okay.
She's in Bombay. She has done this Ranveer Singh in Deepika Padukone and all, yeah. Haan, Padmavat. So, you know, usme that Khilji ka...
Yeah.
You can't see it's Ranveer Singh. You can see Khilji in him. So that kind of legacy I'm seeing. You know?
Yeah.
Someone who's interested in the field, when they watch the movie and say they see his character, they'll want to go and read about him.
Right,
like,
yeah.
Who all has worked on the character, what all went into it.
Yeah.
So that kind of thing is what I want to do.
I feel like with the Khilji, I haven't watched the movie, but his character has stayed. Like, it has become part of our culture now. Khilji from Padmavat is part of Indian movie culture at this point.
And yeah.
Yeah, makeup does contribute to it. Again, going back to the kind of relationship you have with different people on set. One is a director that we just talked about. Another very important part of it for a makeup person is, I think, the cinematographer. Would you agree?
Yeah, I would totally agree. Because if we are doing something, we're adding, say, some part which we feel will add to the character. But the cinematographer is not going to capture it only. So no matter what we do, because see, we get a full human being to work on. But the camera catches parts of them.
The 2D frame, yeah.
Yeah. So if our work is not showing only on the screen, we can be adding tens of things, but it won't do anything for the script. You know, to convey something to the audience.
Yeah.
So having a session with the cinematographer, I feel, which is important before a important shoot. Like, you know, when they are clear that this is what they want to shoot, the kind of lighting and the kind of frames that they are going to shoot. Talking to them accordingly and then deciding what the look will be is very important. Like in Pachis also, a lot of our scenes were very, like, they were not well lit.
Yeah.
So
well lit in the sense that there's not a lot of
light. It's a dark kind of a theme that we're carrying throughout film.
Yeah.
So if I'm doing something that's very menial and tiny, the audience won't be able to see it on the screen because there's not a lot of direct light
falling on it.
That is, yeah. So I have to make it a little pomp and show.
Right.
Which might look too much when we see them in the vanity, but when we see them on the screen, it should look good.
Yeah.
It's not always about what we see eye to eye, like what we see in real life. It should look good on the screen. So even with the lighting and all, I usually try and ask that, are we shooting outdoors? What kind of light are we using? Because the makeup is according to that. Because the tone changes with the lighting. Which problem happened on this film also.
The one you're doing right now.
The one I'm doing right now. There are certain parts where the lighting is very harsh. And my actor is becoming green for some reason. And the cinematographer is coming and saying he's becoming green. That is not possible. Green shake is not undertone in makeup. That is not possible.
How did it happen then?
So apparently there was some prop that was giving shadow on his face on that day. And because we're shooting continuously like 2 days, so that 2 days, he's becoming a little green.
Gradually turning green.
Like the camera is capturing him green because of the shadow, because of the reflection.
All of a sudden you're thinking, am I in Hulk?
Have I not studied something? Did I miss a day in college?
Yeah.
But then I like tried to explain and we figured out a certain way. Like, so there is a technique that we do, which is contouring.
Okay.
It's a very basic thing. Anything that is fair catches more reflection. Anything that is a little darker catches less reflection.
Right.
So contouring, we play with shadows on the face. So we decided to do some contouring. And then we decided to go and see on screen if he turns green or not. And we like conquered the problem.
Nice.
He was not turning green and we went ahead with the shoot. So such kind of things.
Yeah.
Weird things happen.
Yeah, and these aren't things you can prepare for.
You like, can't.
Yeah. Even for the most experienced makeup person or sound designer or cinematographer, when once you go on set, there'll be a new problem that comes up that you don't expect. Before we move on with this discussion, here's a short message from our sponsor.
See you. Whatever interviews I've done till now, people have asked me about like the basic questions of how you got into it and, you know, how you got your first opportunity and how you progressed. Because that is what people want to know.
Yeah.
This has been a fun, actually, this is a fun session because we're talking of what happens on set.
Yeah, yeah.
And not how to get onto a set.
Yeah.
Which is like kind of different.
Yeah, because getting onto a set is a completely different process. And when you're doing that, you're not aware of what's going to happen on set.
Yeah.
Which is why I want to focus on that.
Hmm.
So that, you know, if people listen, they know ki, this is something that could happen. Be at least like 10% prepared.
That's true. Can never be prepared because like, there is a funny, so my first music video that I went for, so morning 4 o'clock I'm supposed to leave and first time being on set, super excited, and my cousin sister decides that because you've got your first project, we need to party one night prior. So we're out drinking till 2 in the night. We both are sloshed. Like I can't walk straight. Sloshed. Came back home, slept, woke up like in 2 hours. And I went to work. And I'm hungover. Like I can't stay awake in the cab. That kind of hungover. And I'm on set and people are thinking that, okay, she's new, so she's slow and she's getting confused. And I'm the only makeup artist on set.
Okay.
Doing hair and makeup for the actor and the actress and the touch-up. There is no one else. And by lunchtime, my hungover gets thoda normal and I get back to, you know, my energetic self and running and working and all that. And end of the day, I got no compliments, no reviews, nothing. Very silent, the day ending. And I'm just like, they are never going to call me back. What have I done? My first work. And second day, we have a 1 day break because we shot for 16 hours. Second day, we have an outdoor shoot, which they were planning 15 hours, went on to 20 hours. And I have a back injury.
Oh, shit. Okay.
I had a back injury back then. So I went on set. And end of the second day, so the music video was with Debujit Saha. It's already released. And he came to me and he shook my hand and he was like, very good work.
Oh.
You are going to go ahead in this line.
That must have felt amazing.
I was like, bas yehi hai. Yehi karna hai mujhko. Ho gaya mera.
Nice.
That was like one very good memory I have. Yeah. And after that, I decided I will never be sleep deprived and hungover before going to a shoot.
That's actually very important. Like, I mean, during shoot and all, you lose sleep, but it's so important to try to get as much sleep as possible,
yeah,
because that's really going to affect the kind of work you do.
It hampers with your presence of mind.
Exactly.
It is very important that you're quick in thinking, because a lot of problems come which, like, people won't wait for you to fix them because you're not that high in the hierarchy. So you have to be quick, which can't happen if you're hungover.
Yeah.
Everyone and anyone will come and bash you if because of you they're losing time. Like, even, okay, styling is a little above than makeup.
Yeah.
It is still a little more respected and acknowledged. But still, like, they also get equal amount of bashing if we're losing time because of them. We have to be patient. We have to be calm. Like, so I do breathing exercises. Reason being, even in so much of stress and tell people shouting on me, my hands can't be shivering because I'm working on someone's face. If I poke them in the eye, I will lose the job and they will lose an eye. So, you know, I have to be calm and patient even under all that stress.
Oh, shit. This is something I've not thought about. Again, I mean, yeah, like when I'm in the spot, like it's very rare for me to, you know, be in a spot where people are asking me to rush, because once the setup for sound is done, you only have to change lapels here and there, but very rarely you have that thing, and my hands do shiver because I know that the whole set's time is running on me and I have to make it rush. But for a makeup person to let their hand shiver is a complete no-no. Can't let that happen.
We have to be very stable when we're working. Because it is about the actor's health when it comes to us.
Right.
Like, we can't give them an injury on set. Like, more than losing our work, we'll get a very bad name.
Yeah.
We might never get work.
Yeah. Keeping aside the fact that, you know, you need to avoid having your hands shiver, I'm sure you must have had some scary experiences on set.
Yeah, so there is one. So it's basically prosthetics. When we're learning, you know, we're in an AC room, there's no sun, there's no external factors. And when we were in Patches, we were shooting in this outdoor set where there was no room or shed or anything for makeup. It was open, like they gave me a stand with a tube light, one table where I've set up and one chair. That's it. And I opened my things and I laid on the table like how I'm used to. And because we were on the outskirts, it was very foggy and misty.
Right.
So there was a lot of mist that was falling on my products for like 2 hours before we started.
Okay.
And with prosthetics, the thing is, the skin needs to be clean and dry for the products to hold.
Oh.
If it catches moisture, it will not hold onto the skin. And I'm supposed to age this actor. And this is like the first scene with him. So whatever I do will be the continuity throughout the film.
Right, right.
Right. It's the reveal of his character. And there's a time constraint. Because we're already running late. We're running already 2 hours late or something. So, you know, there are people on my head saying, fast, fast, fast. And I put on the prosthetic. And it turns into one big patch. And he looks like a ghost. So I'm supposed to do aging for him.
Yeah.
Give him some cracks under his eyes. And I put on the product. And I powder it. And the powder sticks on it like... Like, you know, there's a glue ka patch hota hai, skin close to powder stick ho jata hai. That's exactly the same. Looks like I put Fevicol on his face.
Oh, shit.
And he looks and he sees in the mirror and he goes like, ye kya kar diya? And I lose all confidence. Like, I am shivering. I can't breathe. I don't know what to do. And I'm feeling cold, so I am anyways not feeling well. So I removed it. I tried to do it again. And again, the same thing happened. And I am not able to figure out why is it happening.
Mm.
Because in the look test, it came out perfectly.
Mm.
Because that we get indoor.
Yeah.
So I'm not able to figure out what is going wrong. And then Sai, the co-director, comes to me and he's like, he looks at me and I'm about to cry. Like, I literally have tears in my eyes. And he takes me aside and he's like, what happened? Calm down. You want some alcohol? No, I don't want alcohol. And then he's like, calm down. Whatever is happening best according to you, you do it. So, I like cleaned everything. I took 5 minutes, breathed, and then I did it again. And it came out decent. So, one thing worked for me that day was we were shooting in bare minimum lighting. Like, bare minimum. So, hardly anything was visible.
Yeah.
So, you know, I could still alter the continuity for the coming shots. And next day in office, I blasted. On like Dinesh, the EP and everyone, they all are sitting. Like Krishna, writer is sitting, Sai is sitting, Dinesh is sitting and I blasting. Karthik is sitting there, the DOP and I blasting on them. I'm like, you gonna give me vanity and you want me to do some wounds in aging in 10 fucking minutes? I am walking out. So then, that is how we had a vanity when we were shooting.
Yeah,
in
that
the,
was very convenient.
It was so much easier. Imagine they wanting me to give them very good work of a gunshot and all with no lighting, with dust flying around, when they're being mist and very cold. How am I supposed to do it?
Yeah.
So then I'm like, I am not doing it only. I say, no, I'll not do it on set if you do this to me next time.
Yeah.
That was one scary moment.
But
that
the vanity van was really helpful for me because during that whole cement factory wala thing, it became too loud and none of the dialogues were audible anyway.
Yeah, you guys were recording in there.
Yeah, tried to record, it didn't work out. And I was sleep deprived, so I just went to the vanity van and slept.
I think everyone did that at one point.
Yeah. But yeah, you did Pachis and then now you're moved on to a much very different kind of a project where,
yeah,
you know,
it's like poles apart.
Yeah, poles apart because, of course, the budget is much higher. But that's just one aspect of it because the way, the kind of filmmaking they do is very different, right?
Yeah.
Like, what is it like, you know, working for a super, with a superstar? Would you say working with a superstar or for him?
With a superstar.
Yeah.
It's altogether a different experience. See, it's about how... It's all about them, basically. How their mood is. What they feel like. It's all about them. So it's a very different experience. Because when you're working with someone who's fairly new, they consider you and they talk to you as a friend.
Hmm.
Usually. That is what happens with me on set. That I befriend my actors.
Right.
Here, we make sure that we ourselves keep a little distance. Because today, his mood might be very good. And, you know, he'll be happy, he'll be greeting us like friends. But tomorrow, his mood might be bad. And we would go with the same mindset. Hmm. Like, we are the friends.
Yeah.
So, you know, like that, we keep a little distance. But we still make sure like we're doing our work properly. It's more about work than forming relationships on set. It's more professional.
Yeah, on smaller sets, you tend to make friends. And
Like, you tend to chill a lot.
Yeah.
You're like, everyone is so busy in what they're doing that it becomes very professional.
And one more thing. When it comes to the process itself, what kind of differences do you see like between a smaller film and bigger film in the process of your work?
In the process of my work, it's very organized.
Okay.
Because like, see, I'll tell you, if the director is not clear of what he wants, no, we'll keep struggling because whatever we do, he'll not like it. He'll not be satisfied. But when the director has a very clear vision, he'll know exactly in one look test, yes or no. Like, I remember the first look test that I did for one look. Director so told me that very instant, right after the look test, he told me I'm only 40% satisfied. And he gave me pointers. Mm. Work on these.
Right.
Then second look test, we were at 60%. Next, we were at 75%. Then we kept doing look tests till one day prior to the shoot.
Wow.
Because he was not getting satisfied. And then on set, when he saw, and then he was like, Vidhi, 100% satisfied.
Nice.
And I was like, yes, yes, I get it.
That's really nice.
So, you know, like the person who's directing, if they are only not clear, which was a major problem with Pachis.
Hmm.
Because there were so many people with so many opinions that we could not come to a conclusion that everyone was happy with.
Right.
Because of which a lot of people were struggling. So, you know, when there is one person who knows what he wants and everyone falls in line according to that, work gets way easier.
Yeah.
And you get a better product at the end.
Not necessarily, I would say. Because, I mean, it's different kinds of filmmaking because the kind of hierarchy you have on both sets is very different.
Very different, I agree.
On one set, like the director values everybody's opinions, there has to be a limit to that because if you keep listening to everyone, you'll waste time. It's going to be bad. On the other hand, you have someone who knows exactly what they want, but if they do not value the opinions of others, that is again going to...
See, it's a very thin line of knowing what they want and still taking other person's output because they are a specialist in the field.
Exactly.
Hmm. You know, you have to consult the master at one point.
Yeah.
So that I feel on this set is like very good. They make sure that they are taking in consideration what the other person has to say. And still making sure, like, the vision is still the same.
Yeah. So, thank you so much for turning up, for talking on the show. It's been a lot of fun. And all the best for whatever you're going to do next.
And thank you for inviting me. It was a very fun session.
Yes, it was lovely.
I loved it.
Yes. Ciao.
Thank you, Ashwin.
Bye. That's the end of this episode. I hope you had a good time listening to it. This episode has been edited by NC Vineet and the music has been composed by Rohit Tambulwadikar. Make sure to follow us on Instagram for regular updates, the link to which is in the description. Thank you.
Action. Have I made it yet?